Are you ready for Christmas?
Yes.
Are you? You ready for it? Well, I'm going to mimic, David Letterman? You know, the countdown from the top 10? No, I actually got this from a man named Nelson James. And it's the top 10 signs that you aren't ready for Christmas. Just see if any of these belong to you. Halloween decorations still grace your porch. That's number 10. Number 9. You have no idea what to get your spouse. That's always a hard one. Number 8. You really are fervently hoping that Santa is real. Number 7. Your fridge is empty. That's not good. Number 6. And I know this is true for all of us. You didn't buy a plane ticket. So here we all are. Number 5, your house is a wreck. Number 4, you have no earthly idea how to cook a Christmas goose. Number 3, you don't have a dress. Now that only applies to about half of us. And I'll just let you guess which half. Number 2, you forgot the tree. Oh, no. I think I passed somebody still selling them somewhere. Number 1, you have no AA batteries. No, especially if you have children, you know about that one, don't you? You know. We've been spending the last 4 Sundays of Advent getting ready for Christmas. Preparing our hearts and preparing our spirits to be ready for this night and for tomorrow. So it's been a journey that we've been on. And those of us up here have been wearing purple and one Sunday pink. That was fun. But now we're in gold because this is an exciting time. This is a time to celebrate. It's a time to celebrate. Dorothy Sayers said one time, as a kind of a rebuke to the church, she said this, quote, "You have the greatest good news on earth, the incarnation of God in human life, and you treat it as if it's an insignificant news item fit for page 14 of the Chronicle of Daily Events." No, there's some truth to that, I think. You know, the stuff around Christmas, all of the things that we do to prepare our homes, to buy the gifts, and make sure they get to the post office, or I'll put in a plug for Tim Uber, FedEx, or UPS, or however, making sure that everything gets sent, or if you're like me, you're online at the last minute sending stuff, you know, making sure that all of that gets done, and our minds get preoccupied with all of the cultural stuff of Christmas. And I think sometimes Dorothy Sayers is correct even today, that we have forgotten that we have the greatest good news on earth, that God chose to come in human form into this life, to live as one of us, to feel what we feel, to weep at times, I'm sure to laugh and be joyous at times. You know, he went to a wedding, you know, that was a fun time. And then when his friend Lazarus died, he cried. So he experienced all of the human emotions, the incarnation of God in human life. And yet, Jesus was born in a way that you would hardly expect. And we've talked about that in recent weeks, how rather than being born in Rome of a royal family, he was born to an unwed young girl in a faraway place, an insignificant place, Even Bethlehem was insignificant. It wasn't a major town. Jerusalem was close by, and that was a major place, but Bethlehem, even though it had been considered the city of David, still it was insignificant. Born into humble circumstances, I loved the hymn that we sang that talked about first manger and then a crib. You know, they're the same, they can be the same thing. You know, laid in a feeding trough because there was no room for them in the inn. And who were the first ones to get the good news that night? Shepherds. Shepherds. Nobody cared much about shepherds. You know, they were also pretty insignificant. They couldn't keep ritually clean, and so they were kept away from religious ceremonies by the high and mighty religious people. Maybe they smelled a bit, you know? And so, no. And yet it was to shepherds that the angels came and filled the skies with hallelujahs. I love it when we sing Gloria in Excelsis Deo. Woo! That's just one of my favorite things. I just love singing that. Gloria in Excelsis Deo. And even though there was such insignificance about the birth, Luke tells us that Jesus was, and throwing these three words together is the only place in the New Testament where this happens, that he was the Savior who was the Christ, the Lord. Wow, high words. Savior, Christ or Messiah, the Lord, the one to whom we give allegiance. Wow. I think we do sometimes in the ordinariness of life, and even maybe sometimes at Christmas, forget that we have such great good news. Such great good news. This afternoon I had so much fun saying Merry Christmas to folks that I met. You know, it's people say we're not supposed to say that. You know, Happy Holidays is supposed to suffice. No, for some reason today it was all about Merry Christmas. And guess what? I don't even know if the people that I was wishing a Merry Christmas were spiritual people in any way, shape, or form, but every single one of them said Merry Christmas right back. There's something about this season. We have good news. And it seems to me that maybe we should keep saying Merry Christmas for at least 12 more days, because the Christmas season, you know, isn't just tomorrow. It runs for 12 more days before we hit Epiphany. So maybe for the next 12 days, you can continue wearing, where are they? The Santa hats, you know? Keep wearing them and keep saying Merry Christmas. People will wonder about you. It wasn't that last Friday, you know? Yes, but it's a season, you see. And there's 12 days of it, and I really want to celebrate it all 365. But at least for the next 12 days, I wonder what it would be if we just simply kept saying to everybody we met, Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas! Because we do have good news, and we carry it in our hearts, and we carry it on our faces. And we have a joy within us, or at least we should in this season, that can last us all year long. Because it's not just about the presents under the tree. It's about the greatest gift God could have ever given us. Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Praise God for Christmas. Will you pray with me? God, we bless you and we thank you for this season of the year when we remember the greatest gift that you gave, yourself, in human form. Jesus was born in lowly circumstances. But here we are 2,000 years later, continuing to celebrate his birth and continuing to have the kind of joy in our hearts that Mary must have had in hers that night. So help us to stretch the joy out, to expand the season for at least a few more days, to continue to have Merry Christmas on our lips, and to at least carry that message in our hearts every day. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.